Go ahead and open your Bibles, if you would, please, to Revelation chapter 20. I'm going to read verses 11 through 15. Then we're going to talk about it, and we'll probably come back to these verses as we close the session out. But I want to help you better understand today what you're facing. I want to help you better understand what you're facing in life and what you're facing in eternity. Many of us don't like to think about eternity. We don't like to think about death. We don't like to think about eternity. But eternity is real. Eternity is real. And each and every one of us are going to spend one of two places in eternity, either in heaven and then in the new earth, the new heavens, the new earth, the kingdom of God, or in hell, the kingdom of darkness. Contrary to what the Catholics teach, there is no purgatory. There is no refining process once you die to get you ready to go to glory. No. With your last heartbeat, you're either in hell or in heaven. Make no mistake about it. Go to Revelation chapter 20 and verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Going into this, let me ask you this. Is your name written in the book of life? You see, the only way you get your name written in the book of life, it's not just through some religious activity. It's not even just through some, quote, religious experience, unquote. It's by being born again. You have to be born again. So either we have a religious routine or we have a relationship with God. Which do you have? Do you have a religious routine? Or do you have a personal, intimate relationship with our Heavenly Father, with Jehovah God? I want to stop and I want to pray. God has birthed this message in my spirit, and I'm bringing it to you as He birthed it in my spirit. As I spent time with Him trying to make sure I had it fleshed out properly, prepared properly, this is the result. And whether you are a member of a religious organization or whether you're a member of the body of Christ, I think you would do well to listen. You say, well, what's the difference, Bob? What's the difference in being the member of a religious organization and being a member of the body of Christ? All the difference in the world. You can be a member of a religious organization and with your last heartbeat, find yourself in hell. But if you've been born again and you're a child of God, adopted into the family of God, that's an altogether different situation. Because with your last heartbeat, you will be in glory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I am bringing to these today that which I feel with all my heart that you birthed into my spirit to bring to them today. And Father, I'm going to ask you to give me the anointing to deliver the truth of this message as you would have it delivered. But Father, there's so much deception in the world. There's so much religious deception in the world. And I'm going to ask you to cut through all the religious deception. I'm going to ask you to cut through all the religious propaganda. I'm going to ask you to cut through all the religious brainwashing. I'm going to ask you to cut through all the false doctrinal beliefs. They're embraced by so many. And I'm going to ask you to penetrate their thinking with truth. Father, we have people who are singing in the choir, serving in the cathedral, serving in the churches. We have people involved in all manner of religious activity who themselves are one heartbeat from hell. Father, we have those in ministry who are one heartbeat from hell. We have those standing in pulpits who are one heartbeat from hell. Father, over the years, you've had those who answered the call, what they thought was the call to ministry, only to find out that they went into the ministry as a profession, not as a call of God in their life. And we have some that got into the profession of ministry and realized their lostness, that they were without Christ, one heartbeat from hell, and they received you, Lord Jesus, as their Lord and Savior. And in doing that, they received the Holy Spirit and anointing, and then continued to fulfill the pulpits. But Father, so many in even religious leadership positions are without Christ. And being without Christ, they will mislead others. Father, this church, the church, is in a meltdown in so many ways. When I say the church, Father, I mean that organization known as the church, not the body of Christ known as the church. The religious organization made up of different expressions of religious activity. Father God, it is being polluted and sinking deeper and deeper and deeper into deception. But you have a church. You have the bride of Christ. You have that group of people who have been truly born again. They've been to the cross, confessed themselves as sinners, believe that Jesus is the Son of God, the Savior, the Redeemer, and in simple childlike faith ask Christ Jesus into the heart and have been born again. And as a result of that, they've been adopted into the family of God. So, Father, I'm praying today that you'll take this message and encourage those who are in the family of God who have been born again. And, Father, speak to the hearts of those who are involved in any number of expressions of religion and religious activity, but have never been born again, because that is what's required to get to glory with the last heartbeat. So, Father, I commit the message to you. Holy Spirit, I ask for your anointing as I teach it, and I pray that you'll use it in the lives of hundreds of thousands to correct any misunderstanding and bring some even more into the kingdom of God. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I ask you going into it, are you involved in a religious routine or a relationship with Jesus? Do you have an intimate, personal relationship with Jesus? Or is it just a religious routine? Which is it? How do you answer that question? Do you have a religious routine that does not give you the comfort, the peace, the joy that you can hold on to that religious routine and walk into the valley of the shadow of death, meet death, and say to death, I know why you're here. I'm ready for you. I've been to the cross. I've received Christ. I've been born again. I've been cleansed by the blood. I've been indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. I'm ready for you, death. I'm ready for you. Because one split second after you touch me, death, I will be in glory. I will be in glory. Can you say that? Can you say that? You see, hell is overpopulated with people who had a religious routine. It was that group with a religious routine that so opposed the Lord Jesus Christ. Even some on the leadership of that religious routine stood against the Lord Jesus Christ. They opposed the Lord Jesus Christ. Hell is overpopulated, I say again, with people who had a religious routine and went out into eternity with nothing more than a religious routine. And hell will continue to be so populated. I don't want you to be one of those that populates hell. That's one reason. Listen, God gave me this message about 2 days ago, and I'm delivering it to you today. I don't want you in hell. I want you to hear the gospel. I want you to recognize yourself for what you are and who you are. And some of you who have been born again, you're simply still infants in the kingdom of God. Infants in the body of Christ, you really have not grown in spiritual maturity. You're not really doctrinally sound. And so many go into church once or twice a week and sit down and listen and say amen or whatever, and the mind wanders here and the mind wanders there, and they get up and leave the church and they feel good because they've been in church, but nothing has transferred in their life. Nothing has really occurred in their life. With those who were filled in the practice of the religious routine, hell is filled with those who were faithful in the practice of their religious routine. Yes, they were exceedingly faithful in the practice of their religious routine, but they were never born again. And Jesus said to that religious leader, "You must be born again, Nicodemus. Religious activity is not enough. Being involved in religious activity is not enough. Being involved in the Sunday service is not enough, Nicodemus, or the Sabbath service. No. Nicodemus, you must be born again. You have to become a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old man has to die. The old sin nature has to be put to death." And some of you, you're involved in the practice of some religious routine? Do you have the assurance that if God were to take you out today, that you would go to glory? Can you say yes to that? Or do you have to say, "Well, I'm not sure, Bob"? I'm not sure. Then listen carefully, because before this is over, you're going to know how to be able to say yes to that. And I am talking to any number of people today who are one heartbeat from eternity. And some of you are one heartbeat from paradise, from heaven, from the presence of God and all the saints that have gone on. But others of you are one heartbeat from hell and everything that hell has to offer. Satan, demons, and all those who have died without Christ. Let me ask you this. Are you involved in the practice of a religious routine, or is your name inscribed in the book of life in heaven? You see, there's a book called the Book of Life, and those who have been born again, those who have recognized themselves as sinners and cried out to Jesus, saying, "Lord God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I'm a sinner. Come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Be my Master. Be my Lord. I'm a sinner, Jesus. I need help." Remember the poor old sinner who went with the Pharisee to pray? And the Pharisee beat upon his breast and thanked God in heaven above that he wasn't like the rest. And that publican stood over and said, "Jesus, God, be merciful to me, a sinner." I'm talking to some people today who need to pray that prayer. You need to say, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." You need to come out of just being involved in a religious expression of some kind and be reintroduced, or introduced, I should say, born again into the kingdom of God. So let me ask you once again. Is your name inscribed in the book of life? You say, "Well, Bob, how does one get their name inscribed in the book of life?" The books are going to be opened. Word of God tells us that. I read you that a few moments ago. So that if your name is not written in the Lamb's book of life, you are going to be consigned to an eternity in hell at the judgment seat of God. We're all going to get there, folks. You can try to ignore death. You can try to avoid death. Death is a reality. Word of God says it's appointed unto man once to die. Why did he say once to die? Because those of us who have been born again are only going to die once. Those of us who have not been born again are going to die twice. You die a physical death, and then you die a spiritual death. Those of us who have been born again, and I'm in that crowd, I've been born again, I will only die one death. I will die a physical death. But after that, one split second, even quicker than one split second, after I die, my soul will be in heaven. I will be in the presence of God and all the angels and all the saints that have gone on before, all my relatives that have gone on before. No. Where are you today, friend? Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Do you have a personal, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ? If you were to go to Jesus today, he was the same thing he said to Nicodemus, that religious leader. That man was steeped in religion. He was up to his eyebrows in religious activity. He was a religious leader in the religious community. But he knew something wasn't right. He knew something was missing, and I'm talking to those today that way down deep in your heart, you know something is missing. You know something is not right. And many of you are involved in a religious organization, but that religious organization is not part of the body of Christ. The body of Christ is comprised of those who have been blood-bought, blood-washed, born again, not just baptized, not just a member of a religious organization, but they have been born again. Do you have a personal, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ? Can you go to him with every concern that you have? Can you go to him with confidence? Can you go to him quoting the Word of God? Do you know enough about the Bible and the promises of the Bible and the promises of God to his own children? Do you know enough about those promises that you can go to the presence of God and say, Father, here's a promise you made. This promise is in your word, and I'm quoting the promise back to you. I know your word, Father. I know enough of your word to know this. I know this promise is in your word. And so I am bringing this promise that you made back to you, and I'm asking you to fulfill it. Can you do that? Do you have enough of the knowledge of Word of God that you can go into the presence of your Heavenly Father if you've been born again? If you have been born again, you have access to Jehovah God through your relationship with Christ Jesus. You have access. You can go before the very throne of God with all of your concerns, your burdens, your problems, and your intercessory prayer on behalf of others, on behalf of the nation, on behalf of the kingdom of God in the nation. No, some of you have not been born again, and you really don't even know what it means to be born again. Some of you have been involved in religious activity for a lifetime, and some of you are involved in religious activity to this day, and you still do not understand what it means to be, you must be born again. Nicodemus was a leader. He was teaching, but he knew something was missing. He knew something was wrong, and he went to Jesus. He was wanting some answers because he knew he was facing death at some point in time. He knew that sooner or later, death was going to knock on his door. And death was going to open the door. And death was going to come in and seize him. And he knew that when death seized him, he was going out into eternity. He wanted to know that when he went into eternity, he was safe. He was secure. So he went to Jesus. Religious leader, a leader among religious leaders, and yet in spiritual darkness. Do you realize how much of the religious community today is filled with leadership that don't have the foggiest idea what it really means to be redeemed, what it really means to be born again? I mean, how can you be in the leadership of a religious organization? And I notice I said religious organization. I didn't say the church, because there's so many religious organizations that are not part of the church. And in this day and age, we have those in positions of religious organizations who are embracing everything that God says is anathema, everything that God calls sin. And recently, we've seen another denomination decide God is wrong, his word is wrong. We are going to be very, very open-minded. And we are going to embrace those things that God condemns. And we're going to embrace those individuals. Yes, Christ died for them, but they have not yet received Christ. You have to understand that the church is comprised of those who have been born again. Their church is more than a religious activity. Their church is more than a group of people who want to be, quote, religious, unquote. No, the church is the body of Christ on earth today. It is that group of people through whom Christ chooses to express himself to the rest of the people in the world. The church, the future bride of Christ, the body of Christ on earth today. So we have this religious leader, Nicodemus. He had questions. And Jesus cut right through all of them and said, you must be born again, Nicodemus. You must become a new creation. You must become a new creature. Let me ask you this. Do you have a personal, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you call him Savior? Do you call him friend? Can you go into his presence at any hour of the day, knowing that you will be received, that your prayer requests will be listened to? It may not be answered in the time frame that you want, but you know it'll be heard. Do you have that confidence? You see, you don't have to go through another individual to get to Jesus. You could go directly to Jesus. Why would I go into some building and sit down behind a curtain and confess my sins to another sinner? Why would I do that? Why would I go into a building somewhere and sit down on some side of a curtain with another person behind the curtain and say, I've come to confess my sin? He can't forgive my sin. Only Christ can forgive my sin. Only the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse me of my sin. So why in heaven's name would I go to another human being and say, I want to confess my sins because I'm hoping you can forgive me? Another human being cannot forgive your sin. Only Christ Jesus can forgive your sin. Only the blood of Christ can cleanse you from your sin. No such thing really as holy water. But even if there were a thing called holy water will not cleanse you from your sin. No, it takes the blood. The blood. And can't be any blood. It has to be the blood of Jesus Christ. Nicodemus was a ruler among the Pharisees. But he discovered that religious activity brought him no peace. Religious activity brought him no comfort. Religious activity did not let him go to bed at night and confident that if the death angel came for him that night as he was sleeping, that he would go to glory. So he came to Jesus. He came to Jesus. And this man Nicodemus, he's in the same condition as hundreds of thousands of others. Do you realize that Jesus Christ went to the cross, that whosoever believed in him, trusted him, received him, accepted him, and asked him for his forgiveness, asked him to be their Savior, asked him to let them be born again. Do you realize that Jesus did that so that any individual ever born could come to him and say, Jesus, I'm a sinner, but I want to be saved. I want to be born again. I want my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Jesus, I don't want to just be religious. I want to be saved. I want to become that new creation you say we must become. And Jesus, I understand you are the only name under heaven whereby men may be saved. Your blood is the only cleansing agent under the sun that can cleanse me as a sinner from my sin. Do you understand those truths? Have you been taught those truths? Hundreds of thousands of people have died and gone out into eternity in hell because they were never taught, they were never told, they never received that truth. Understand this. Hear me and hear me well. A religious routine will not enable you nor empower you to be godly. Listen to me carefully as I repeat that to you. A religious routine, and many of you have a religious routine, a religious routine will not enable you A religious routine will not empower you to be born again, to become a child of God, to be made right with God. And I don't care what kind of religious activity you're involved in. I don't care how many hours a week you're involved in it. I don't care how many days a week you're involved in it. Until you come to Jesus Christ saying, I am a miserable, lost sinner, and I'm confessing I'm a sinner, and I'm asking you, Jesus, I'm not asking some priest, I'm not asking some preacher, I'm not asking a cardinal and a bishop, I'm not asking the Pope, I'm not asking an evangelist, I'm asking you, Jesus, I'm asking you, Jesus, come into my heart, be my Lord, be my Savior. I acknowledge I'm a sinner, Jesus. I acknowledge I'm not worthy of you. I acknowledge that I'm not worthy of salvation. I acknowledge that I'm not worthy of the blood that you shed on Calvary. And I'm everything I ought not to be, Jesus. I am everything that I ought not to be. And I'm asking you, Jesus, in simple childlike faith, come into my heart. Be my Lord. And you know, I'm talking today. Some of you may well be in pulpits. Some of you are singing in the choir. Some of you are even serving as Bible teachers. Some are filling some office in the church, maybe a deacon, maybe an elder, whatever. And yet your one heartbeat from hell, full of religious activity, accepted into the church, the organization known as the church. But once again, let me make it very, very clear to you. There is an organization known as the church made up of religious activity. Then there's an organism known as the church, which is the body of Christ. It is the body of Christ on earth today. And for one to be involved in and accepted into the body of Christ, the church, the real body of Christ, they must be born again. All the religious activity will not be sufficient when death knocks on your door. No, only the blood of Christ that has cleansed you from your sin. Only your relationship with Jesus Christ through having been born again will be sufficient. And folks, we're all one heartbeat from eternity. We're all one heartbeat from eternity. And none of us know when that heartbeat is going to occur. The key is, are we ready for that heartbeat? Have we received Christ? Have we acknowledged, Lord God, I'm a sinner. Be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. You see, you have to understand, once again, let me say this to you. You may be involved in religious activity up to your eyeballs, but all that religious activity will not enable you to live a godly, holy, separated life. All of that religious activity will not empower you to be salt and to be light. Will not empower you to be what God requires you to be as one of his children. That is to be born again. Now understand this, because I want to bring you some encouragement now. I'm talking to thousands today. You have been born again, but you were born again and you have not really seriously grown much since you were born again. You must understand that the Word of God teaches us that we come into the kingdom of God, into the family of God, as spiritual infants. And we grow from spiritual infants into spiritual adolescence. You have the same stages of growth in the body of Christ as a believer as you have in the natural birth, the natural process. You come into the kingdom of God, into the family of God, if I may say it that way. You come into the family of God as a infant, as a spiritual infant. Then comes growth. Has to be continuous, ongoing spiritual growth. And so many of you have stopped. You're stalemated. Stopped right where you are. You're no more spiritual now to any degree. A lot of you are not much more spiritual now than you were the day you received Christ. Why? You've not been discipled. You really have not been discipled. And how many am I talking to that have sat through sermon after sermon after sermon, Sunday school class, Sunday school class, Sunday school class after class, and yet have not really changed? have not really been Spirit anointed, are not really Spirit led. You see, the Spirit of God comes to indwell us. Our bodies are the temple for those of us who've been born again. And I speak now to those of us who've been born again. Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. And He wants that temple to be filled with His Spirit. Filled with His Spirit. Not just residing there, but not only residing there, but filling us with Christ's likeness. Filling us with the love of Christ, the joy of Christ, the peace of Christ, and yes, the power of Christ. The power of Christ to submit ourselves to God, resist the devil. Every morning of the world, we should be getting up, and one of the first things we do, we should be submitting ourselves to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in our lives. We should make our stand resisting the devil, presenting ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ as a living sacrifice, taking our rightful place to death, to self, alive to God through Jesus Christ. I'm talking to some today. You have to understand this. A religious routine does not make you a member of the family of God. Oh, please hear me today, people of God, and those of you who think you're people of God and have not yet been adopted into the family of God. A religious routine, a religious practice, does not make you a member of the family of God. You can practice a religious routine for years and remain a child of the devil. Did you hear me? Let me say that to you again. You can, day after day, throughout your life, you can practice some kind of religious routine. You can jump through this religious hoop and that religious hoop, and you can practice this religious practice and that religious practice, and all that time remain a child of the devil. Satan does not mind you being religious. What he doesn't want you to be is spiritual. He doesn't want you to be born again. He wants to keep you in his family. He wants you to think that because you are a member of a religious organization, you've been made right with God. That's a lie out of hell. You're not made right with God until you are born again. That's what Nicodemus found out. Nicodemus, Paul the Apostle himself, both Paul the Apostle and Nicodemus, members of a religious organization called the Sanhedrin. That was the religious crowd, one of them. That was the religious activity of the nation. And both of them were fervent members of that religious organization. But Christ came. You see, there was the law. Christ fulfilled the law. Christ Jesus, glory be to God, hallelujah, fulfilled the law. And when I came to Christ and received Christ as my Savior, He accounted the fulfillment of the law by Christ Jesus to me just as though I had fulfilled the law, and He does that for all who come to Him receiving Him as Lord and Savior. He accounts to you when you come to Christ and you're born again, He accounts to you as though you had fulfilled the law because Christ fulfilled the law for you and attributed to you the fact that He fulfilled the law on your behalf. You can practice. I said this, I'll say it again. I am talking to people today in both the Protestant and the Catholic and other expressions of religious life. I am talking today to some of you who practice a religious routine and you remain a child of the devil. And as long as you remain a child of Satan, you are one heartbeat from hell. And with your last heartbeat, you will be in hell. Multiplied millions are doing that. Multiplied millions are practicing a religious routine, and yet they remain a child of Satan. Millions, millions. The Pharisees. I mentioned Nicodemus. I mentioned Paul. The Pharisees were very religious people. If I could say, I suppose we could call them a denomination if we wanted to. We could say that the Pharisees were a denomination, a religious denomination. I've never heard it put that way, but I'm going to put it that way today for making this point. I suppose we can call the Pharisees a denomination. They were a religious denomination in Israel in that day, and they were very religious. Oh, were they religious? Oh, they had law after law after law. You couldn't do this, you couldn't do that, you couldn't say this, you could. Listen, Jesus reduced the commandments to two. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, and your neighbors yourself. And friend, let me say this to you. When you arrive there, when you go to Jesus and you say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I'm a religious sinner. Some of you, thank you, Jesus, some of you need to go to Jesus and say, Jesus, I am a religious sinner. I'm religious, but I'm a sinner. I'm a religious sinner. Now, others of us can go say, Jesus, I'm your child, born again. Yes, I still sin. Yes, I still sin. The Word of God says if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But you see, the difference is this. A religious person can go to Jesus and say, prayer, I should say, well, I'm doing this and doing that and doing the other. I'm involved in all this religious activity, and I'm obeying all the rules and regulations that are laid down by the religious activity that I'm involved in, but I remain one heartbeat from hell. Then there are those of us who have been born again, and we can be involved in spiritual activity. There's a difference in religious activity and spiritual activity. We can, day after day, say, Lord, I'm involved in spiritual activity. I'm not all that I should be. I'm not all that I want to be. I'm not all I can be. I'm not all I could be, but I'm not what I used to be. Because of you, Jesus. Because of what you did. You went to the cross for me, Jesus. And you took my sins upon yourself. And you put those sins to death in yourself. You see, God assigns death to sin. God assigns the sentence of death to sin. Sin has to die. Hear me clearly. Sin has to die. And when you confess your sin as a believer priest, as one who's been born again, the Word of God says those of us who've been born again, we are believer priest. So I, as a believer priest, when I realize I have sinned, grieved the Spirit of God, quenched the Spirit of God, I go before God the Father and I say, Father, I sinned. I sinned. And as I said the other day, you don't have to run and drop on your knees and weep and wail. No. Whatever you're doing, right then you say, Father, that thought was ungodly. That response was ungodly. That thought was unholy. That action was unholy. And I'm calling it sin. I confess it as sin. And you see, the Word of God tells us as we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Why? Because the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from that sin. Holy water won't do it. Holy water won't do it. Takes blood. Takes blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. There's no remission of sin. So holy water won't do it. We've got hundreds and thousands who are being deceived, being lied to religiously, being lied to day after day, week after week, religiously. Holy water will not cleanse you. It takes the blood of Christ. There are many, understand this, for the most part, the Pharisees now were very, very religious people. And I said we can call them a denomination if we want to. But for the most part, the Pharisees remain children of Satan. And they were representing, they claimed to be representing God to the nation. Paul the Apostle, Paul, Saul he was called then, was a member of the Pharisees. But he was opposing God, opposing the kingdom of God, being used of Satan. And so, you see, you have to understand that the world is full of systems of religion. The world is full, listen to me carefully, of systems of religion, filled with people many times who are doing their very dead level best to live up to the demands of that system of religion. The world is full of religious people who themselves are the children of Satan. But once you're born again, you're taken out of the family of Satan, you're brought into the family of God, and you come into the family of God as an infant, as a spiritual infant. That's what discipleship is all about. That's what challenge is all about. We seek to see souls saved. We seek to see souls discipled. We want to see those who have been saved, some of them for a number of years. We've had people come to us and tell us that they had never really been discipled. You have to understand that you're a spiritual infant. You come into the kingdom of God as a spiritual infant. And from spiritual infancy, you come into spiritual adolescence. And from spiritual adolescence into spiritual youth. And spiritual youth, and some, maybe not a great deal, finally make it into spiritual maturity. I don't consider myself to having arrived in spiritual maturity. I'm further up the road now than I was, years ago, but I haven't arrived. And I'm talking to men today, you've become complacent. You've become complacent with where you are in Christ. You're no longer hungering and thirsting after righteousness. We should be getting out of bed every morning of the world, hungering and thirsting after righteousness. And we should be proclaiming that to Christ. Say, Jesus, I hunger and I thirst after you. I cannot be satisfied with less than the fullness of you in my life. I've got to die to self. I've got to respond to you. I've got to embrace you. I've got to embrace your word. I have got to be spirit-filled, spirit-led, spirit-anointed. I don't want to grieve you, Holy Spirit of God. I don't want to quench you, Holy Spirit of God. I want to fulfill the will of God for my life, but first, you've got to be born again. You can't even pray that prayer till you're born again. Now, once you're born again, hear me and hear me well. Once you're born again, you have direct access to the throne of God. You don't have to go through a preacher, a pastor, a bishop, a pope, a priest, a cardinal. You don't have to go through anybody. You're a child of God. God is your Father. Once you're born again, God is your heavenly Father. Jesus Christ is your Lord. You've been adopted into the family of God. You have direct access to the throne of God. And I am talking to how many today you have poured out your heart in prayer after prayer after prayer after prayer, and you're not seeing prayers answered because the first prayer that God wants to answer for you is, God, oh God, oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Save my soul. Adopt me into your family. Let me be born again. I want to receive Christ as my Savior. I want to be born again, Jesus. I want to be born again. I want to be adopted into the family of God. And then, my friend, day by day, you can go before the throne of God as a child of God. And you can take your petitions. And you can take your concerns and your cares and your problems and your worries about other people. You can take the nation before God. You can take the nations of the world before God. You can take the kingdom of God before God. You have access to the Almighty Supreme God of this universe once you're born again. Once you're born again. Just being religious won't do it. The world is full of religious people. And yet they remain the children of Satan. Nicodemus recognized that reality. Nicodemus, that religious leader, and you hear me refer to him quite a bit because he's such an example. He and Paul the Apostle. They're such examples of people who were extremely religious. Are you hearing me? They were religious folks. They were involved in religious activity up to their eyebrows and lost. One heartbeat from hell. Paul, the apostle, Saul, before he was born again, before he came to Christ, receiving Christ, believing Christ, when Christ arrested him on the road to Damascus, Lord, 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 what will you have me to do? Nicodemus came at night wanting to know where he was missing it. He was so religious. Oh, he was religious. But he knew, way down deep in his heart, he was one heartbeat from hell. How many today, the religious community today has hundreds, has thousands who are religious but without Christ. Did you hear me when I said that? I'm talking about the religious community. I'm talking about the religious community of today. I'm talking to people today who are involved in the religious community. There's hundreds, there's thousands in the nations of the world who are religious but lost. They're without Christ. They've never been born again, and they're one heartbeat from hell. But then we find them in every denomination. Folks, we have seen entire denominations fold their tents and slip away into the darkness of sin in recent years. We have seen whole denominations fold their tent, leave the Spirit of light, leave the kingdom of light, and walk into the kingdom of darkness. And a lot of it started when they wanted to be politically correct. When they wanted to be politically correct, they wanted to embrace everything that the political scene would embrace. And in doing that, they compromised the Word of God. They denied the Word of God. They defied the Word of God. And we have religious organizations that were then and are now ordaining those that will never, ever, ever meet the bill. They will never fulfill God's responsibilities for leadership in the church. It's called compromise. And compromise is the language of the devil. And we have seen religious organizations, notice I'm not saying church, we have seen religious organizations, and that's what they are. They're just religious organizations like so many other religious organizations in the different nations of the world. We've seen them compromise, fold their tent, and slip off into the darkness. And what does the church do? It watches passively when we should be crying out to God day by day by day. We find it in every religious movement without exception for the most part. Now, we have some denominations and religious movements that have not compromised. Praise God. I praise the Lord for it. But we find this. The organization that's known as the church is filled by hundreds of those who are not indwelt by the Spirit nor empowered by the Spirit. Hundreds in that religious organization, but a religious organization is not the church. The church is the body of Christ. The reality, that reality, I should say, reveals itself in various expressions of life. Only those purchased by the blood of Christ are members of the body of Christ. And as such, they're indwelt and empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. Those of us who have been born again, we're indwelt by the Spirit of God. We're empowered by the Spirit of God. We are indwelt and empowered by the creative power of this universe. And that power can be expressed not only in a Christ-honoring life, but in a prayer closet. Oh, what we can accomplish through prayer, what the child of God can accomplish through prayer by going before the throne of God covered by the blood of Christ, sins confessed up to date, and saying, I'm here to transact business on behalf of the kingdom of God. I'm here to transact business on behalf of the nations of the world. But only those purchased by the blood of Christ in the family of God can do that. Religious activity is not sufficient for eternity. Nicodemus, Paul, perfect examples of people who were so religious. These men were extremely religious, but they were religious sinners. They were without Christ. Had they died in that condition, they'd have gone to hell. And let me say this to you. Hell will be populated with millions who were baptized or christened, but never saved, never born again. Members of denominations, whether it's Catholicism, Protestant, whatever, who go out into eternity, when the angel of death touches them and their last breath is drawn, and with the last heartbeat they go out into eternity. It matters not what denomination they were part of. It matters not what religious organization they were part of. Having never been born again, they will be consigned to an eternity in hell. Yes, even those in leadership positions, in religious organizations, both Protestant, Catholic, and otherwise, those in leadership positions who have never been born again will take their last breath, their last heartbeat, and go to hell. Once again, the book of the Revelation, where we started, reveals the fate of those never born again. Beginning with Revelation 20, verse 11, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." The books were opened, and whosoever was not found in the book of life was sentenced to an eternity in hell. Is your name in the book of life? If you died today, is your name in the book of life? You say, "Bob, how does one get their name inscribed in the book of life?" Well, as Jesus said to Nicodemus, that religious leader, and I'm talking to religious people today, Jesus said, "You must be born again." Nicodemus, you must be born again. Now, folks, understand this. I understand there's some harsh reality in this message. I understand there's some harsh truth in this message. This is not a sweet, sweet message, but it's a message full of truth, eternal truth. It's a matter between life and death. It's the difference between life and death. The reception of this message will make the difference about where you spend eternity, in hell or in heaven, your response to it. I didn't write it. I just teach it. I just preach it. I just declare it. I leave it between you and the Holy Spirit. I leave it between you and the Holy Spirit. But understand this. Never forget that your eternal soul hangs in the balance. Your eternal soul hangs in the balance. So in closing, I want to pray. I'm going to ask God in His love, His mercy, His grace, I'm going to ask Him to demonstrate His love to you, reveal His love to you. The cross, on the cross, He who knew no sin became sin for those who would believe and receive. You see, once you receive Christ, your sins were put to death in Jesus Christ. When you come to Christ confessing you are a sinner, asking Christ to come into your life and be your Savior, your sins are put to death on Jesus. On that cross, He reached back into eternity past and pulled all the sins of all those who had died in faith, trusting and believing. He reached into the future, into our day, and He pulled all the sins of those of us to Himself who would believe and receive. And He put those sins to death in Himself that we might be made new creations in Christ Jesus. And I pray that today, as I close this hour with prayer, I'm going to ask you, if you're not absolutely sure that you're ready to die, if you're not absolutely sure that you're ready to meet the angel of death, I'm going to ask you to take the closing moments of this broadcast and say, "Jesus, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus, be merciful to me, a sinner. I confess I'm a sinner. And I'm asking you, Jesus, come into my heart, be my Lord, be my Savior." You may even say to Jesus, "Jesus, I've been so religious. I've been involved in so much religious activity. But Jesus, I need to know that I'm born again. I need to know that I've been received, that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that I can face death and say, 'Death, I know who you are and why you're here. and I can face death with a peace, that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that my life has been, my soul has been saved, my sins have been put to death in Christ Jesus, and I'm a new creation and ready to meet death. Oh, Father God, Jesus, I'm asking you in the holy and precious name of Jesus, take this message, Father. Oh, Father God, take this message and use it, I pray, to stir the hearts of those who are religious, as Saul of Tarsus was. He was so religious, but he was lost. He was unsaved. He was one heartbeat from hell. Father, I'm today who are one heartbeat from hell. One heartbeat from hell. And I'm asking you today to move in their hearts, stir their hearts, stir their hearts, Holy Spirit, with that knowledge, and bring them to that point when they will yield and say, Jesus, be merciful to me, a sinner. So I submit the prayer to you. I submit the message to you, Lord, and ask you to use it to decrease the population of hell and increase the population of heaven. Thank you, Father, for the privilege of teaching it. Amen. Thanks for joining us today on Challenge until we have a chance to do this again. Be blessed.